Hello, listeners. As you are probably aware, my book, Podcasting for Business, How to Create a Show That Makes a Bottom Line Difference for Your Company, is going to be officially released on September 10th. So to give everyone a deep dive into exactly what the book contains and how it can be used to improve your podcasting investment, I got together with Tom Fox of the Compliance Podcast Network to record a 10-episode mini-series on exactly that. It's all releasing on the Compliance Podcast Network. You'll find a link in the show notes. And I'm also going to be releasing one episode here on the company show every day until launch. I know you'll enjoy it. And if you want to get a copy of the book, you can do so at podcastingforbusiness.com/book.
This is Tom Fox, and I'd like to welcome you to an exciting new podcast entitled Podcasting for Business, The Book. In this podcast, we will explore the powerful intersection of podcasting and business growth. In this exploration, I'm joined by one of the business podcast industry's top experts, Megan Doherty, to discuss her game-changing book, Podcasting for Business. Whether you're a podcasting pro or just starting out, this podcast and Megan's book will be your go-to resource for turning your passion for podcasting into a powerful business tool. In this series, we'll take a look at the reason Megan wrote this book, the role of a podcast for business, and why your podcast blueprint acts as your prime directive. We look at the value math of podcasts and take a deep dive into the 15 metrics Megan suggests you consider using. We look at combining blueprints and metrics moving forward for your podcast. We say some words on recording and post-production, sound and audio quality, and then putting it all together. But don't take my word for it. Listen to Megan Doherty on why you should listen to this podcast and, more importantly, buy her book, Podcasting for Business. Megan, give me three reasons why a listener should read this book.
Because number one, there actually is a formula for profitable podcasting. Two, it's all in the book, Podcasting for Business. And three, any business can take this information and apply it and start seeing a better return on their podcasting investment.
Podcasting for Business, the book, is a production of the Compliance Podcast Network. In this episode, we begin three looks at metrics for business podcasting. I know you'll enjoy considering these metrics. Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox back again for another episode of Podcasting for Business, the book. As always, joined by Megan Doherty. Welcome back, Megan.
Thank you, Tom. So glad to be here.
Megan, we are going to take a deep dive into all of the metrics over the next podcast episode or two. And I really want our listeners to understand what these metrics are, the power of these metrics, and how they apply to the blueprint or the prime directive, as you have told us. So let's just go through some of these, or saying some, all of them. So we're and see how it goes. So I want to start off with referrals. First of all, what is this metric and what blueprint does it fit?
Referrals it's the first one in the book. It maybe is my favorite metric to track for business podcasts. And like all of the metrics, it's something that is valuable to a business that you can get through podcasting. So the metrics, as we get into them, you'll see they're not all like super easy to track. They're not all super on the surface, but they are all trackable and they all can add real value to the business. So referrals, of course, every business owner, I'm sure, loves to get them. It's when you are introduced to or otherwise somebody else is telling somebody about your business and putting you in touch. And your podcast can be a really great engine to get this through the process of guesting. So when you have a relationship building podcast, and that's going to be the perfect fit for a referral optimization, you have your guests who are potential referral partners, and you use different touch points that you have along the recording process, whether it's the invitation, the prep call, the recording itself, the follow-up, a thank you. And this is all a chance for you to get to know someone well enough that they're going to feel comfortable referring you. And it might not happen right away, but over time, you're going to start getting data about what kinds of guests are willing or able to refer you business, and you can target more of them to come on your show and to grow that network of people who are referring you business. So really great thing to optimize a podcast for, and it can work really well with other optimizations as well. So it's not the only thing that you're getting out of your podcast.
Let me pick up with something you said, because you haven't said it since the first episode.
And that is, you delineated a list of touch points. So you talked about follow-up, you talked about email, you talked about a newsletter, you talked about just an email thanking the guest, all of those things. And it struck me that all of the things you said in terms of touch points are a part of your overall marketing strategy. Would that be a fair assessment?
It would absolutely be a fair assessment. And as a part of your overall marketing strategy, all of those touch points can be optimized to work better and to be easier. And so when you kind of really get into it and you really optimize a show and build a system around the metric of referrals and optimizing for that, you're building a machine. And it's a machine that helps you form good relationships with people in your space who can help you grow your business. And I mean, it sounds a little mercenary when you put it like that. Done, it's not mercenary at all. It's very friendly. It's very polite. It's very appropriate. And it's one of my favorite ways, I think, for someone to see value out of a show.
Megan, next up we have sales cycle length. And if there's one bugaboo that I hear people in the compliance space talk about, it's the sales cycle length. Now they're talking about a product, but that it's not limited to a compliance product or even any other product. So what is sales cycle length in terms of a metric that a podcaster can use?
Definitely. So of course, sales cycle length is the length of time it takes from someone to make a first contact with you or first hear about you to actually deciding to buy. And for good cash flow, you want that time to be as short as possible so that you can get as many people through the door as possible. And what a podcast is so good about for this, and this is a thought leadership or audience engagement kind of fit for optimization, is podcasts are amazing at creating knowing, liking, and trusting, and creating intimacy with the listener. So if you are strategically deploying a podcast where you're talking about how your product or your company works, your philosophies, what you believe in, case studies, problems you've solved, examples of things that you've worked on, and you deploy those to people who are becoming aware of you early in the sales cycle process, they're going to want to move more quickly through the rest of it. So I've worked with shows that if you look at their downloads, they were never very successful. But if you look at how fast people went from being listeners to, I can't wait to work with you, when can we start? Unbelievably massive impact on the business. And so optimizing your show for that really has to do with figuring out what your buyers need to hear, creating content in a way that's interesting, and then making sure that they're getting it at the right time. And there's a bunch of different nuances to that, but when you're doing it, you're going to find that you're getting on sales calls with people who you've never heard of before, and they're going to say, I absolutely love your work. When can we start? It's so cool.
So does it fit into one or more of your blueprints?
Definitely. I'm very excited about all of this. For each of the metrics, we've got it down for each of the blueprints, if it's a perfect fit, a good fit, or not a fit. And as long as it's a perfect fit or a good fit, you can go ahead and optimize for it if that's your blueprint. Sales cycle length optimization is a perfect fit for both thought leadership and audience engagement. Those kind of two high-level purposes work really well with this specific metric. And it's a good fit for content as well.
Megan, our next metric, or your next metric, I should say, is promotional opportunities. How is that different than a sales cycle length? And, or maybe you can just define it for us and it'll be self-evident.
Yeah. So when I'm talking about promotional opportunities here, I'm kind of talking about opportunities for you to take the stage on somebody else's, take somebody else's stage in a way that you wouldn't have otherwise. So while referral building is about building a relationship that could have potential business outcomes, and sales cycle length is about optimizing your own business processes, promotional opportunities, it's another relationship building metric. But this time, instead of trying to connect with and meet people that you are hoping will send you business or become clients themselves, you're hoping that maybe you can get on their podcast or talk at their conference or join their networking group and get these opportunities to kind of become the trusted expert in their space. And it is very similar in terms of optimization to referrals. Like, a lot of the same work is going to have that outcome. So it's a really nice one to optimize for both of them. But it is about kind of positioning yourself as an expert who not only has a stage, but is a great speaker to be on other ones.
Megan, what type of blueprint does this fit? And can you give us an example or two?
Yeah, absolutely. So this one is a perfect fit for a relationship building podcast, and it can work pretty well with audience engagement and thought leadership as well. And content is going to come up a lot because you can do whatever you want with a content podcast. It's why they're so fun. But I've got a story about actually an opportunity-based optimization that was a little jarring to me at first, because I pitched myself to be on someone's podcast. And she said, I'd love that, but I'm only doing episode swaps right now. And I was like, you're what now? So she was using a strategy of doing only podcast interviews or having people on her show where she could also be on theirs. And at first I was a little, that's a little aggressive, isn't it? But then we got on a call to chat about it. And we had this wonderful conversation where we were able to talk about our audiences, what I could share with hers, what she could share with mine. We ended up arranging to release the podcast to go out at the same time so we could co-promote and cross-promote really easily. It ended up being a fabulous experience. And it's something that I've started to employ occasionally on my show as well. But if she hadn't done that, if she hadn't kind of made that a requirement or part of her process, she wouldn't have gotten that extra opportunity to be on mine, because I was only really thinking about being on her podcast. And that can, it has to be done fairly delicately and kindly, but you can very much make your podcast part of access to you. And your audience kind of becomes part of what you have to offer to other people in terms of networking. And that can be really good, mutually beneficial exchanges.
How about the next one? Because this is one of my personal either bugaboos or bet noirs. And that, of course, is SEO. Maybe you can explain to me what SEO is, or at least help me understand what SEO is in terms of a podcast for business context metric.
Yeah, so SEO is a constantly changing world of how people find you on the internet. And it used to be a lot simpler before AI and the search algorithms of all gone bananas. It seems like it's changing every month. But it's basically the idea that when someone searches in a search engine like Google or Bing or something else, they type in their keywords, and if your content matches what they're looking for, hopefully you're going to be shown as one of the options that they can choose to click on. And there's a whole industry built around making websites do that more effectively and helping them get found more effectively. From the context of a podcast, SEO is probably, for my podcast, the second biggest benefit that we get from running the thing. And it's because our show notes are SEO optimized on our website so that they're designed both to be good to read for humans, but also so that the search algorithms can find and sort and organize and present our content for the keyword terms that we're hoping people look for. And so because we've got ongoing content, it happens every week, we're adding something new to that pile every week, and we're able to interlink and send people on little journeys through our own website and the different content that we have there. And it's all organized so that people spend more time consuming our content and new people can find it when they're searching for stuff that we talk about. I hope that was fairly clear. It's fairly technical, and I'm not technically an SEO expert.
Megan, interestingly, this is one of the blueprint fits that all of the blueprints fit under SEO, and none of them are, quote, not a fit, end quote. Yep. So we're going to keep all of them within the category of which it fits. But I wanted to ask if you could give an example of this.
Absolutely. And it's going to be the same example for everyone, because for SEO, you need written content. And that means you've got to have your show notes. And it means you have to have pretty robust show notes. So this is not the thing to optimize for if you only want to write a sentence or two. It's just not going to work. But when I think about over the years that we've been producing different kinds of content and creating podcast episodes and show notes, I've got one episode that was about what you should ask a podcast producer before you hire them. And that has been one of our best search results. And we've gotten more web traffic from that post than from almost anything else that we've ever created, because it was in line with what people were searching for. And then after, I think a year or so after it was first released, we updated it. And this is a podcast episode. We released it on the RSS feed, but we also had a blog post that went along with it. And there was a written version of it that people are able to search and find, and that gets them into our orbit. When we were able to update it, that's only improved the search engine rankings, but it is a really regular source of traffic for the website. And that does bring a certain number of people who sign up for our trainings or who download our guides, and sometimes who become clients.
Megan, I will have to say that I'm not sure surprised at the next one, but it was one I didn't expect to see, and that was new product creation as a metric. Can you explain what that is, and then what blueprint does it fit?
I mean, you love repurposing, and one of the things you can repurpose podcast episodes into long-form content projects. So it could be courses, it could be opt-ins, it could be an email series, it can be a video training, anything like you've got all of this content and you've got a regular date to record every single week. And if you know that within your business, you want to have new courses, you want to have something to help train new clients as they come in, there's absolutely no reason you can't record that content piecemeal over a couple of weeks or over a couple of months on your podcast, release it there, use that as an opportunity to test it, see if people like it, and then repurpose it and refine it and polish it up into something that can be a permanent part of your business structure. Maybe something that people pay for, of course, or maybe something that they get when they sign up, like an opt-in. But you can do the work of planning out what's going to be in it and then record to spec basically over the course of any amount of time that you like and turn that all into one product. And then you've got a whole bunch of fun metrics that you can track within that. You can track dollar sales if it's something for sales, email subscribers if it's something people are opting in for. You can just track the number of new pathways into your business that there are as a result of your podcast. And it's also much fun because it's coming from directly from work that you'd be doing anyway. And so kind of up there with the ones that I really, and of course, it's a perfect fit for a content podcast, creating these kind of business assets. That can be the only reason that you podcast, and it can be a perfectly valuable thing to do for your business. And it's also really good for audience engagement when you have people who are paying attention to what's on your website and what's on your socials. This is a great way to really nurture your audience with content.
Megan, unfortunately, we are near the end of our time for this episode. But before we leave, I wanted to ask you if our listeners wanted any more information on the book or to pre-order a copy, what would be the best place for them to go?
They should go to podcastingforbusiness.com/book. All of the details are right there.
Megan, I greatly look forward to continuing this conversation.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Podcasting for Business, the book. I hope you will check out Megan's book. We've linked to the resource in the show notes. You can pre-order it now. I would encourage you to do so and also attend her virtual Podcasting for Business conference, which will be held in May. I hope you will join us tomorrow for episode 5, where we continue our exploration of metrics for business podcasting, looking at brand awareness, social media engagement, list growth, sales qualified leads, and product sales. This podcast is a production of the Compliance Podcast Network.